This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, one day I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was wearing burdun najraniyun ghaleedh al-hashiyah. Al-burd, it's today, it's like a type of garment around his neck and on his shoulder, long. It's similar to what we call today maybe a long coat or a long robe that people used to wear on the top. And he said it's made of a very rough material, you know, not a, one of these smooth materials, rough materials. And it is thick. And while the Prophet ﷺ walking with me, a Bedouin came from behind. I was walking fast. And he grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way he grabbed the two sides of the robe and the garment, and he pulled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that rough material. And it's almost like, you know, when you choke someone, but he was pulling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent Anas said, I can see already mark on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's neck from this rough material. Then he looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Muhammad, murli min malillah. Give me from that wealth or the money that it belongs to Allah. It's not your money, it's Allah's money. So give me some money. I need help. I'm poor and I need help. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And he looked at the companion, he said, give him, he's in need. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this incident, he demonstrated a high level of self-control and another level of letting go and forgiveness and tolerance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is indeed the best of manners, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he basically, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this, following the footsteps, and is the same akhlaq and the same manners of the prophets and messengers before him. But as he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all the prophets, he was the best in all areas. The concept that I want to talk to you about today is the concept of learning how to forgive, how to let go. And that's something that is not easy. And it's easy to be said, the word forgiveness and let it go and you know, I move on. And all this easy, but it is hard really when it comes to reality. When I read the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the whole entire chapter of the whole entire surah talk about the suffering and the plotting against Yusuf. That at the end of the surah, after all this, at the end of the surah, they just tell the brother, forgive us. Just few lines before that, before this line, please forgive us. Just few lines before that, they were saying, oh, Binyamin is a thief like his brother Yusuf. There's no remorse. But at one point they said, you know what? We're wrong and you're right. Forgive us. What did he say? قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ. يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. Yusuf said, there is no blame on you today. May Allah forgive you. He is the most merciful of the merciful. And he let it go. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the same verse and this phrase. He used it after he conquered Mecca and he saw the leader of Quraysh. After all these years, 13 years in Mecca, and now 10 years in Medina, or 9 years in Medina, 8 years in Medina, suffering from the plotting and of Quraysh and the animosity of Quraysh. La ilaha illallah. Almost 20 years or 21 years. And they said, he told them, what do you think I will do to you? They said, you are our cousin, your brother. Then he said, I will say what Yusuf said to his brothers. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. No blame on you today. May Allah forgive you. And he's the most merciful of the merciful. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم demonstrated this on many occasions. You know the story when the Prophet ﷺ was sleeping and a man sneaked into the camp of the Prophet ﷺ and he picked the Prophet ﷺ's sword, was hanging on a tree. Then he woke up the Prophet ﷺ like this, putting the tip of the sword on the Prophet ﷺ's throat. And he said, Ya Muhammad, wake up. Who can protect you from me today? The Prophet said, Allah. And he said that the land started shaking. And he was shaking so hard and he dropped the sword. The Prophet picked the sword and he pointed to him and said, and now who can protect you from me? What the Prophet did, he said, let it go. When the Sahaba came to attack him, he said, no, let him go. He forgave him. You know, when he conquered Khaybar, a woman put a poison in his food, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he took the first bite, the meat spoke, the bone spoke, and it was a miracle. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inni masmuma. I am poisoned, don't eat me. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spit whatever he took, but it was filled with sauce. So the Prophet already have basically observed some of that poison in his body. That's why two of his companions died. They brought the woman, that Jew woman who gave him the food, and she cooked for him. She asked, what's the part of the sheep that the Prophet Muhammad loved the most? They said, Al-Katif, which is basically the shoulder. Then he said to her, why did you do what you did? Then she said, I was trying to test you to see if you are a prophet or not. Because if you're a true prophet, Allah will tell you. God will save you. And if you're a liar, you deserve to die. Obviously, if you are like, if this done to you, can you imagine this done to any president or king or leader or to you? Would you believe that? What the Prophet did? They said, Ya Rasul, he said, let her go. He forgave her. I mean, demonstrating that, that's another level. And if I think about anything that made the Prophet ﷺ and everyone who want to learn how to forgive, there is one point I saw so clear, consistent and repeated in these stories, that Muhammad ﷺ and those who want to be like him, they need to learn that all their actions, what they do and what they don't do, what they give and what they take, what they say and what they don't say, they will do it for the sake of Allah. The moment you learn how to live like this, the moment forgiving will be so easy. Because you don't forgive because of yourself. It is because of Allah. So no matter what it is, you will be able to let it go and to forgive and to move on.
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ
وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. إما أن يكون المحسنون هم هؤلاء الذين ذكرت الآية أوصافهم، أو يكون المحسنون قسم جديد أو صفة أخرى غير الصفات التي ذكرت في الآية. طريقتان لتفسير هذه الآية. Allah says march, walk fast, race to a Jannah that is bigger than the heavens and earth, to the forgiveness of Allah. That's the motive. Then he said, those people who this is their goal, this is their mindset, this is what they do, whatever they do for, what is their character traits? One, they give in the time of ease and a time of hardship. You might say, why in the world would you give in a time of hardship? Logically, you should hold the money. You should keep it. You should save it. But when you do it for the sake of Allah, your calculation is different. Never forget, one of the brothers in this community came to me and he said, in COVID time, he said, I lost most of my employees. I'm about to fire, to let go, or to basically let go all my staff. I'm just making dua that I can keep them. Because I don't want to close, you know, door for rizq for them, provision for them. But Sheikh, I can't. It's hard. And now the time for me to give my yearly donation to the masjid and to some Islamic organization that I give. It's hard. But you know what? I took from my saving and I gave. And I don't want to, yes, not maybe as much as I give before, but I gave. I still committed. Logically, you say this makes no sense. You should save your money. You don't know what's the future. But when you do it for the sake of Allah, the thing you calculate things in a different way. Alhamdulillah, bless him with more jobs and more money. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right before he died, he told the companions, whoever I done anything wrong to, forgive me. And whoever have done wrong to me is forgiven. ولذلك يقول حسن البصري العفو أفضل أخلاق المؤمنين. Forgiving people is the best quality that can be ever exist in a believer. And today I know we hear a lot about what the Prophet ﷺ did or said in regard to this, and we never get bored with these stories. But I want to share with you in this khutbah examples of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the successors, and moving on in the history and the life of those who are role model for us. And there is so much wisdom and so much of what I'm going to be sharing with you today. To see that this is something not only Prophet capable of, but also people who follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ can do it. Once Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, قال له رجل لأسبنك سبا يدخل معك قبرك. قال قبري؟ قال يدخل معك أنت. يدخل معي أنا. A man told Abu Bakr, I'll curse you. I'll say things about you, bad things about you, would follow you until you enter your grave, and it will go with you to your grave. Abu Bakr said, my grave? No, it will follow you to your grave. Your curse and your bad words will follow you, will not follow me to my grave. Because it will be in, and he meant it will be in your record. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said right before he died, كل الناس مني في حل. He said, Umar radiallahu anhu, anyone that ever said or done anything bad about me or do to me is forgiven. Umar radiallahu anhu given excellent advice. قال إذا سمعت كلمة تؤذيك فطأطئ لها رأسك. If you heard someone said something bad, something bother you, something insult you felt insulted by, you know, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu anhu said, what you do? طأط إلى رأسك. يعني what it means? يعني just go down like this, let it go fly over your head. Don't let it hit your heart. Don't let it stay in your head. Just you know, try to maneuver and just let it pass. Umar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu in Suffin. They found the thief in his tent, stealing from him. And that thief from the other camp. So when they capture him, the police or people in charge of the guarding his tent, they said, he's from our enemy, let's cut his hand off. Because as you know, your own soldier, you cannot cut their hands off or apply punishment to them during a war because you need the soldiers. Okay, he said, from the enemy, let's apply the punishment on him. He said, no. بَلْ أَسْتُرُ عَلَيْهِ لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يَسْتُرُ عَلَيْنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ He said, no, I will forgive him. Maybe Allah will forgive us and cover us in this dunya and in the akhirah. Sheikhna Sheikh bin Baz once in one of the classes, teacher Sheikh bin Baz, in the night he heard noise in his house. And you know, he's the Grand Mufti, has an official position in Saudi Arabia, so he always have guard 24/7 at his house. He wakes up as usual in the middle of the night or way before Fajr to pray, and he heard some noise. So there is like a bell. He pushed the button, alerted the police. They came and he said there is some noise in the back. The police went and they found the thief actually was trying to steal something from the backyard. They captured him. They never informed Sheikh bin Baz about what happened. He prayed Fajr and he said to the soul, to the guard, what happened? They said, there is a thief stealing this and that from the backyard. Then the Sheikh said, what happened to him? Where is he? He said, we took him to the police station. He said, no, go get him. It's my house. Go get him. So they went and they got him from the police station back to the Sheikh bin Baz. And he said to him, what are you doing? My house. He said, I didn't know it's your house, Sheikh. I was just looking for something to steal so I can make some money. He said, why you wouldn't make this money? He said, Sheikh, wallahi, I never steal my life. You can look at my record. But I need the money. My mom is in hospital. And he made the story about, like, you know, that his family members, his mother or something like that, need money to go back to his country and to pay for her hospital, blah, blah, blah. Then the Sheikh said to him, how much is it? He said, 4,000 riyal. At that time, that's a good amount of money. Then the Sheikh talked to the police. He said, you let him go. He will be kicked out of the country. Then the Sheikh gave him $4,000 riyal. He said, don't steal, ask. There is much halal, you can get whatever you want. He gave him the money and he let him go. So he took only exit visa from Saudi Arabia and banned to come back. 5 years later, this man came back to the Saudi Arabia with a new passport, whatever. Then he came to Sheikh bin Baz with an envelope and he gave it to Sheikh bin Baz. Sheikh bin Baz immediately recognized him. He's blind, Sheikh bin Baz, but from the voice. He said, are you the so-and-so? He said, yes. He said, Sheikh, this is the 4,000 riyal that you gave me. I'm an honest person. I really steal because of my mother's situation. And I work hard and I made the money. I made the commitment to go back to Saudi Arabia to pay you back. Because of the way you treated me. Then the Sheikh bin Baz said, no, I don't need the money. You can keep the money. You're an honest man. But don't steal. That's not how it is. He said, Sheikh, I would never do that. But I came back asking for one thing from you. He said, what? He said, I want to work for you. And actually that person was Sheikh bin Baz's driver until the Sheikh died. He's one of his drivers. And he only told the story after the Sheikh bin Baz passed away. Learning how to forgive people make you win people so many times. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan was in a fight with Ibn al-Ash'ath. And he captured so many of his soldiers. So they brought them tight, their hands tied behind their backs in front of him. Then he looked at Raja ibn Haywa, one of the Muslim scholars at that time. He said, what should I do to them? Then he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, قد أعطاك الله ما تحب بأن أظفرك عليهم. يا أمير المؤمنين, Allah have given you what you love, which is to win the battle, to capture your enemy. So now, do what Allah loves. He did to you what you love, now do what Allah loves. Then he said, what is that? He said, to let them go and to forgive them and to give them a second chance. Then he said, you're all free to go. Don't ever pick up a sword against the Muslims again. Yes, that's another level of akhlaq. يقول سفيان الثوري كان ابن عياش يقع في عمرو بن ذر ويشتمه فلقيه عمرو فقال يا هذا لا تفرط في شتمنا وابقي للصلح موضعا فإنا لا نكافئ من عصى الله فينا بأكثر من أن نطيع الله فيه. سفيان الثوري reported that Ibn Ayyash used to say bad things about Amr ibn Dhar in Al-Kufa. He's older, known, well respected person in Al-Kufa, Amr ibn Dhar. But Ayyash used to say bad things about him. So Amr ibn Dhar once met him in the street and he said, hey, take it easy. Don't talk so bad about me. Just don't talk too much bad things about me. Keep a space for a peace, or one day we might make it up. One day maybe we will forget and forgive each other. You know what? There is nothing much better when someone disobey Allah in the way he treating you is to obey Allah in the way you treating him or her. I'll say that again. There's nothing better when someone disobey Allah by the way he treating you, in return you obey Allah in the way you're treating that person. Don't be equal. There is no revenge so complete as forgiveness. Amr ibn al-As, a man told him once, لَأَتَفَرَّغَنَّ لَكَ وَاللَّهِ. Wallahi, I will focus on you. I hate you so much, and I'm going to focus on you, expose you, talk bad about you, trash you. Like today, just, you know, online, you know, nothing. He is basically, you are my target. I will free my time for you. أتفرغن لك. فقال عمرو بن العاص قال والله هذا هو الشغل. He said, that's not freeing your time. That you occupying your time with the worst thing can be ever occupied with. Then he said to him, are you threatening me? Then عمرو said, I'm not. فقال له يا عمرو والله لو تقل كلمة لتسمعن مني عشرة. فقال يا هذا والله لو قلت عشرا لن تسمع مني كلمة. He said to him, يا عمر, be careful. If you say one word, I will return with 10. I will say 10. Amr al-As smiled. He said, son, if you say 10, you will not hear one from me. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. And that's why Amr ibn As was a strong man. Ali ibn Abi Talib قال كلمة من أعجب ما سمعت في هذا الباب. One of the most amazing statements that I heard in regard to this issue, what Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه said. قال إذا قدرت على عدوك فاجعل العفو عنه شكرا للقدرة عليه. Ya salam. Ali radiallahu anhu said, if Allah give you the ability to win over or to win against your enemy, the way you thank Allah for that blessing is to forgive your enemies. Khalas, Allah give you the power, you broke him, forgive him and move on. Allah give you the power to divorce this person, khalas, let it go, forgive them. Allah give you the power to take your money back from that person. How to thank Allah for allowing you to be like this way is to forgive that person. You got your right. And just move on in your life. خرج علي بن الحسين. Look at his grandson. علي بن الحسين بن علي was walking out of the masjid one day and somebody came to him and he cursed him. He said bad things about him. People jumped from every corner. Why did you say this to the... This is a grandson of the Prophet ﷺ. They said, let him. He said, son, what you don't know about me is way worse than what you know about me. But alhamdulillah, Allah cover my mistakes. What do you need? Why are you so angry? What is it that you want? The man felt shy. Then he took him on the side and he gave him money. And he gave him 1,000 dirham. And he gave him like a shawl was on his shoulder. He said, take this. Just be happy. Whatever made you upset with me, just either tell me or just forget about it. Whatever you heard about me is not true, basically. It's not an easy journey to get to a place where you forgive people. But it is such a powerful place because it frees you. It makes you in control, not controlled by your anger and grudge and frustration and hate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are able to forgive. قُلُوا مَا سَمِعْتُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Sometimes you need to learn to, when you forgive, is to always think about the positive side. Abdullah ibn Mutu'i, his wife, told him, I haven't seen anyone worse than your friends. He said, why? قال إذا أيسرت لزموك وإن أعسرت تركوك. When you have money, they always hang around with you, hang out with you. When you have money, because free meal, you know, invite me, free Starbucks, free dinner, free rides, you know, you don't pay gas, they give you food, they do this, gifts, blah blah blah, traveling. You have money, they're all always hanging around you. But when you are poor, when you don't have much money, money is not a big, they don't even contact you. They don't even care about you. You know, like, you see how we don't do that, but just for a joke. Like, in Ramadan, I always reach out to certain people, hey, just how are you doing, blah, 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 right before Ramadan. Yeah, sure, because it's donation, huh? I don't do that, but just as a joke. Some people maybe do. I don't know what that laugh means. Okay. So, and she said, when you don't have much money, we don't see them around. What a worst friend you have. Shif, I love this kind of attitude. He doesn't want to poison himself from inside. Because you can think about it this way, and you build on this, and he became frustrated and angry. But look at his reaction. He said, لا هذا من كرمهم يغشوننا في حال القوة منا عليهم ويفارقوننا في حال العجز عن في حال العجز منا عنهم. That's actually, they are good people. They come when they know that I am able to serve and to help. But when they know that I can't, and I will be embarrassed, and I will be in a hardship, and I will have to go all out of my way because I have to take care of them. They know I don't have the ability to do that, so they don't come just because they don't want to embarrass me. You see how he sees it from a complete different perspective. A man said something bad to someone, then he wrote to him a line of poetry. قَالَ لَإِنْ سَاءَنِي أَنِّلْتَنِي بِمَسَاءَةٍ فَلَقَدْ سَرَّنِي أَنِّي خَطَرْتُ بِبَالِكَ. As much as I'm heard about the bad things that you said about me, but at least you thought about me. You know? Ibrahim al-Adham said, look for 70 excuses for your brother. And if you couldn't find one, just make the last excuse is that what? That I forgive you. Even if there is no excuse. Because forgiving is not about excuse. Forgiving is about even you have no excuse, I forgive you. And some other people said, make the excuse that you couldn't think of an excuse. That's not being dumb, by the way. That's not somebody want to protect his heart, her heart, from being poisoned and filled with anger and frustration for no reason. That doesn't mean that you don't take your rights. That you don't hold people accountable. That doesn't, for somebody made something wrong to me, forgiving him, it doesn't make that person my friend. And somebody did something bad to me. It doesn't mean forgiving, it means, khalas, we hang out tomorrow. No, I let it go, but you know what? Assalamu alaikum, you go on way, way, I learned my lesson. يقول أيوب السختياني لا ينبل الرجل حتى يكون فيه خصلتان الغنى عما في أيدي الناس والتجاوز عما يكون معهم. You will not be a noble person until you learn two things. You don't look at what people have in their hands and you will let things go. When you forgive, you heal. And when you let go, you grow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he make us among those who grow in manners and give us the ability and the strength to forgive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us whatever mistake that we have done, what people know of our faults and what they don't know, and to guide our parents and to guide our children and to gather all of us in Jannat al-Na'im. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring peace and tranquility and prosperity and safety to our homes, to our community, to our country, to our city, and to the Muslim world and to the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the coming days in our life better than the days that is behind our back. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on Islam and Sunnah until we meet him while he is pleased with us. Allahumma ghafir lana warhamna wa salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa qumu lis salati rahmakumullah.